ahead and dismiss our children to Children's Church. Miss Tony's standing up in the back. Kids can go and take off, be a part of that. There is a VBS meeting, was mentioned earlier after church, and for all of our workers and our teenagers that are helping out, there's going to be food provided at that meeting. And so in the tradition of the ancient Southern Baptist proverb, I'll keep it short and sweet when it's time to eat. So that's what we're aiming for this morning. That's right. That's the ancient. Look it up. Ancient Southern Baptist proverb for you this morning. Blake texted me this morning to let me know that he wasn't feeling well. He actually gave me a little bit of a heads up last night, but it wasn't until about 8:15 this morning that I knew I was going to be preaching today. So funny story. One of our graduates, we'll be recognizing our graduates at the end of the service today, and one of our graduates, Sarah Hatfield, taught for us in youth this past Wednesday night. So I'm trying to encourage all of our students to teach at least once before they graduate from the youth group and move on. The whole idea of, you know, always be prepared to give an answer, preach the word in season and out of season. I'm trying to equip the saints in all of those things, right? So whenever they do teach, we do some constructive criticism afterwards, and so I made the illustration, you know, let's pretend Pastor Blake's going to be sick this Sunday and Sarah's got to teach in front of everybody. So anyways, I'm actually going to sit down, and Sarah, come on, you got it. No, she turned me down. I'm not really sure why, but you could have had Blake this morning. That didn't work out. You could have had Sarah. That probably would have been second best, but you're stuck with me. But we will be brief, so you could say amen. Again, amen. I'm counting on you over here, Travis. You got to help me out. This morning, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 5. So Proverbs chapter 5, we're going to be reading just two verses, verses 15 and 16. And this is a message that is appropriate for graduating seniors. You can ask me, well, how do I know that? Well, as you're turning there, I'll remind you that Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 gives us the purpose of the Proverbs. And it's there Solomon says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." So Solomon wrote the Proverbs as teaching and instruction for his children as they were growing up and becoming adults and entering into the rest of their lives, so to speak. And that's certainly what Sarah and Bo and Deanna Bonham are entering into. I haven't seen, is Deanna here this morning? Well, she wasn't able to make it this morning. So we do have three graduates, and we'll be recognizing Sarah and Bo at the end. And Deanna wasn't able to be here. So this message is appropriate for them coming out of Proverbs. But you know what? It's also appropriate for young married couples. It's appropriate for young professionals. It's appropriate for senior adults. In fact, you know, people say that all the time, like, oh, it'd be appropriate for this or that audience. You know, I've yet to find a passage of Scripture that didn't apply to every single believer that I'd ever met, right? You know, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is profitable for teaching and rebuking and correcting and encouraging and all of those things. And it doesn't ever say just for this certain group of people. Certainly, children, obey your parents in the Lord might be a little bit of a targeted deal, but we can all profit from that, and such is the case with our passage today. So we're going to read Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, and you know what? Let's stand together as we read God's word. Proverbs 5, 15 and 16 says, "Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets?" Amen. You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and to preach your word this morning. I pray that I'd be faithful to the text. I'd be faithful to what your Holy Spirit inspired Solomon to write down nearly 3,000 years ago. God, that my words and thoughts and ideas would not be my own, but they would be from you, and that they would be used for teaching and encouraging and correcting and rebuking, however your Holy Spirit sees fit to work in our lives. God, we love you and we bless you, and we pray in Christ Jesus' name and by your Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to read that again. You can stay seated this time. It says, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, your streams of water in the streets. I mentioned that, you know, I try and encourage my seniors to teach before they graduate. And part of the reason I do so, besides just equipping and stretching them, is I say, you know, you never know when one day you might be put on the spot. You might be on a foreign mission trip, or you might be visiting another church, and somebody may call on you to preach at the last minute. I remember I was in Belize one time with a mentor of mine, and we wanted to go visit a church service, and we walked in, and they said to him, he was an adult, I was a teenager, they said, oh, are you the guest preacher today? And he did not have a sermon ready, and so we said, no, we're just here to visit, and they were disappointed that he didn't have that message ready. And so I thought, you know, from that point on, I never wanted to be in a situation where if somebody asked me, hey, are you the guest preacher? Or are you prepared to preach today? I never wanted to have to say no. And I tell the seniors the same thing. You know, if you just teach one time, you can put that lesson in your back pocket and just have it with you for the rest of your life. And even if it's 15, 20 years down the road, if somebody says, hey, are you prepared to teach or to preach today? It might be a little bit dusty, you know. You might not be able to tell the same jokes or have the same illustrations, but, you know, you've taught it once and you've kind of got it there. So you have that in your back pocket. Well, today this is one of my back pocket sermons. All right. So I first preached this sermon when I was in seminary. And if you look at the context of the passage, which we will do so in a little bit, it's easy to see that Solomon is talking about fidelity in a marriage relationship. Okay, so he's talking about keeping oneself sexually pure and available only to his or her spouse. And so we'll get to that in a minute. We will certainly address that. But when I first preached this in seminary, one of the things that we were taught in our preaching classes was to know who your audience is and to preach for your audience. Well, I was in a class with 12 men, and our professor was a man, and so I was going to be preaching a sermon on sexual purity and fidelity to a group of men, and I was all ready to go. I was nervous, but I was ready to go. Nothing I was going to say was inappropriate, but it was some things that I might not say in front of women or in mixed company. And our sermons were recorded so that we could grade ourselves, watch them and grade ourselves afterwards. And wouldn't you know, Prof asked Karen Giesen to come and record my sermon that day. So that changed things quite a bit. Actually, we worked it out. She just got it going and then stepped out of the room. That was an embarrassing conversation in and of itself. But I didn't figure it was appropriate for women, but I thought, why not throw it at my graduating seniors this morning? That'd be great. And hey, my mom's in the congregation this morning too. I'll just preach it in front of her. So yeah, we changed a little bit of the content for this morning. So as we are looking at Proverbs chapter 5, 15 and 16, there's three things that I want us to look at as we go through it. I'm going to read it again because it is a short passage. And as I'm reading it, I want us to start thinking about three things. One, I want us to recognize, what are our cisterns? Okay. What are your cisterns? Two, I want us to appreciate the cisterns that God has placed in our lives. And we'll talk about what those are. And three, we must honor the Lord with our cisterns. So we need to recognize what they are. We need to appreciate the cisterns that we've got. And we have to honor the Lord with our cisterns. So what are your cisterns? Do you know what a cistern is, an actual physical cistern? I didn't always know what one was. That's right. It's a large container for holding water so that you can use it now and in the future. If you think about Israel, think about Jerusalem, they were in a very arid setting. There was a lot of desert around them. It didn't necessarily rain a whole lot for them. And so they didn't have, you know, modern plumbing that we have. You couldn't call the city and say, hey, I'm not getting water, you know, through my bathtub or anything like that. What they had was these giant collection basins or containers that were called cisterns. And whenever it would rain, the rain would collect in that cistern and it would be a storage container. And so then for all the times that there wasn't rain, you could go to that container and use the water that had been collected from the last time it had rained. And so you can imagine if you're in a situation where you don't get a lot of water and you've got your personal cistern that's for your house, for your family, you're going to be very protective of that, right? you're going to keep a very close eye on what the water level in your cistern is at all time. You're going to make sure that nobody else is coming and stealing from your cistern, because there's only a limited amount of water that is in there. And so you're going to protect it. It's not going to be hard for you to recognize what your cistern is. But again, Solomon is using this idea of a cistern to talk about something else in this passage. And I won't read further on, but if you do read further on, again, you'll be able to identify that he's talking about sexual relations in a marriage and protecting those and keeping those pure. And this, too, is very personal for us, right? It needs protecting. One of the major battles that's being fought in our country and really across the world right now is this whole battle with the LGBT community, with the transgender community, with people talking about confusion with gender identity, the abortion debate that's going on. I had a pastor friend of mine that posted on Facebook the other day. He said, you know, 90% of the abortion issue would go away if we would just follow God's commands concerning sexual purity within marriage, right? If we would just follow Proverbs 5, 15, and 16, if we would follow the whole rest of Scripture where it talks about it's one man, it's one woman, it happens within a marriage relationship, we don't have a whole lot of the problems that we're plagued with today. It is a very personal thing. It is a very precious thing. It is something that we should be protective of. It is a message that's appropriate for seniors who are getting ready to graduate and head off into college, where there's going to be all sorts of temptations and all sorts of opportunities to maybe get into things that we haven't had the opportunities to get into before. But it's also something that we have to be protective of even beyond that, as we do enter into marriage relationships. It's not like all of a sudden the temptations go away. It's not like there's no longer opportunities for us to forget the cisterns and the relationships that we have in our lives. And so it's talking about that. But, you know, I want to take it a step further this morning, and this is where it really becomes applicable for all of us. Your cistern is really whatever God has chosen to bless you with, right? It's whatever blessing God has given to you that you are then allowed to use and need to recognize and need to protect from now and for the rest of your life. So I want to do something this morning. I would like for us to call out maybe what are some of the cisterns. You know the old song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One? Anytime we used to sing that song in church, the song leader would stop and pause and say, somebody name a blessing, and everybody would stand up and name. I want to do that this morning. All right, Sarah's going to come up and speak at the end. She's not preaching, but she'll get a few minutes to share what the Lord has done in her life and where he's calling her. But I wonder if we have a few brave souls in the congregation that could just be put on the spot and say, hey, this is a blessing that God has given to me, and I'd like to share it with the rest of the congregation today. So if that's you, why don't you just stand up and share a blessing this morning? I knew it. I knew you were going to be number one. I'm so glad you're here. Amen. Yes, sir, Mac. Amen. Amen. Who else? Any blessing? Yeah, what are your cisterns? I'm trying to get us to recognize that our cisterns are our blessings. So, amen. Being a part of the congregation here at this church, he said. Thank you very much. Eddie Ray.
The biggest blessing I have is the prayer warriors from our church. We can come with all kind of requests, and they're taken up. And if you don't believe in prayer, come see me, because I am a witness to prayer. And how can be answered in your life? God is faithful to us in all things, and the daily blessings he gives us.
Amen. Thank you. Go ahead.
The ability to empathize with people, your family, people here, that's a gift. That's a blessing.
Amen. Absolutely. It's your blessing. Okay. You don't have to ask. Yeah. I want to tell you what a blessing it was for me, for my sister to come and to share and to sing. Part of her story you may not know is about 10 years ago, she declared herself an atheist to the world. And so to see where she was 10 years ago and to see where the Lord has brought her from that, it's just incredible to see her entering into full-time missionary service down in Acuna. So one or two more? Go ahead. Amen. All right. Well, thank you. I did that again just for us to be aware that we really are blessed. And we have physical blessings, we have emotional blessings, we have spiritual blessings, but each one of us has these cisterns that God has blessed us with. Each one of us have these resources, these things that God has put into our lives that are supposed to be used to benefit us. They're supposed to be used to give us life, right? Think about water. Water, if you don't have water, you don't have life, right? It's a source of life for us. And all these blessings that God has given us are sources of life for us. And so the first thing we need to do this morning is just recognize those blessings. Recognize what are the cisterns in our lives. If you haven't done that activity in a while where you just go home and write down, you know, 20 blessings that the Lord has given you, I'd encourage you when you go home this afternoon just to do that. Just, you know, don't have to do more than 20. If you want to, you can. But just make a list and maybe date it. And maybe a year from now, go back and look at it and see what are the blessings you had in 2019 versus where the Lord has blessed you in 2020 and so on and so forth. So we need to recognize our cisterns. The second thing we need to do this morning is we need to be sure that we appreciate our cisterns. It's crazy, but we can sometimes take our blessings for granted, can't we? We sometimes can even abuse the things that God has given us, can't we? You know, cisterns are not just some old-fashioned relic thing that, you know, happened way back in time. They're still in use in quite a bit of the world today. In fact, they're still in use at the orphanage in Acuna that we work with, that Katie's moving into. And actually, that threw me off for a long time because we would go down there. And they do have running water. You know, you've got city water and things like that. And so I would see the cistern and I would think, well, what is this for? And I would ask somebody and they wouldn't, you know, like the kids there don't necessarily know or they're not able to explain everything. Well, I finally found out why they have the cistern. And this past trip when Jeff Owens and Shannon and myself and Pete Hurst went down for just a couple of days, we're building a bathroom there. And we went for just a couple of days to run the sewage line from that new bathroom and to tie it in. And we also had to run a pressured water line for that bathroom as well. And so I was talking with one of the workers there about where was the main shutoff for the water so that we could tie in the new PVC. And he said, oh, you don't have to worry about it. And I said, what are you talking about? I don't want a pressured line. He said, well, after 6 p.m., the city shuts off the water. And I said, oh, well, I'd never know that before. Hence, that's why you have a 250-gallon cistern outside of your orphanage. So, you know, for years I've seen that there, and I've thought, this really doesn't make sense. It costs a lot of money. They have to have somebody come and do maintenance on it. And I've kind of thought it was almost a waste to have that cistern there until I find out that after 6 p.m., that becomes their water source for the rest of the night. And I don't know what time it gets cut on. Maybe 6 a.m., I'm not sure. But sure enough, we finished what we were doing about 8 p.m., and so we go to tie in and didn't have to turn off the water because there was no pressure on the line. And so, you know, it would have been easy for me to take that for granted. It's easy sometimes, even within a marriage relationship, again, as Solomon is speaking about here this morning, sometimes it's easy for us to take our spouse for granted. Sometimes it's easy to start thinking about giving in to temptation and looking at maybe somebody else's cistern, somebody else's husband or wife. You know, we sometimes even before we get married, you know, young people tend to think, well, this is my body, it's my life, you know, I can do whatever I want with it. There's not a lot of thinking about future consequences, about, you know, maybe one day getting married. We're wrong about that, by the way. Genesis teaches us that we are made in God's image. We're taught that our bodies are not our own, that we're supposed to be temples of God. It's not just Christians who are made in the image of God. It's all people who are made in the image of God. And so, you know, the gift that we can give to our spouse, if you can say to your spouse, hey, I saved myself for you as a virgin, that's one of the greatest gifts that you could possibly give them. I remember when Tracy and I were it was our wedding day. I remember talking to her father-in-law. I just pulled him aside and I said, Mr. Kirkland, I want you to know that, you know, out of respect for your daughter and out of respect for you and out of respect for Jesus Christ, you know, we saved ourselves for this day. And he just started crying, you know, and to be able to give that gift to my father-in-law was an incredible thing. I had it even better. I'm the only guy Tracy ever even dated. So, you know, she thinks I'm really great. So, amen. But that is, it's an incredible gift, and it's one that young people don't often think of. We tend to think about, just let me take care of me in this moment, right? And when we do that, we can create a lot of problems for ourselves. You notice what happens when we do choose to neglect or to abuse or to take for granted our cisterns. Look what Solomon says happens. He warns us to drink only from our own cistern. He warns us to, hey, don't go chasing after anybody else's blessings. But what happens if we do go chasing after other people's blessings? He says it's going to hurt you. If you go and drink from someone else's well, notice what will happen. Should your springs be scattered abroad? Should your streams of water be out there in the streets? Right? We think, hey, if I go and do this to somebody else or with somebody else, if I go chasing after somebody else's blessing, in the moment we do it because we think that's going to benefit us. But no, Solomon says it's not going to benefit you. In fact, it's only going to cause you harm. You might be slightly aware of the fact that if you steal water from somebody else, you are causing them harm. And you may just think for whatever reason that you can justify that, or it doesn't really matter. But Solomon says what's actually going to happen is it's not going to just cause them harm, but it's going to cause me harm if I go into do that. Okay? So if I go chasing after sexual fulfillment outside of my marriage relationship, it's got the potential of ruining my marriage. It's got the potential of causing everything to come crashing down around me. In fact, I knew a guy who was an incredible Christian, husband and wife that served the Lord, Sunday school teachers, great kids, been married for 20-something years. And if you had asked me, like, who is the perfect example of a godly husband and wife and a couple that honors the Lord and all that they do, I would have pointed to this guy right here and I said, you need to follow after him. You know, one day he let his guard down. And one day he decided to go chasing after somebody else's cistern. And then that day, he threw away his marriage. And he threw away his relationship with his teenage sons. In fact, he let his heart get so hardened that he said to his wife, he was trying to hurt her. He said, you know, those boys have wasted 18 years of my life. You know, his world was falling apart. When his oldest son got married, his oldest son refused to invite his dad to his wedding. You know, they still don't have a relationship. You know, what happens when we go chasing after other people's blessings and other people's cisterns is it ends up hurting us and destroying us. When we stop appreciating the gifts and the blessings that God has poured into our lives and we say, so-and-so has got it so much better than me, all we're doing is hurting ourselves. Every one of us can easily write down a list of 20 blessings. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your situation in life is. You know, I was in Belize when I was 17 years old. And we were at a church, and in Belize, most of the families that we saw slept in hammocks as a family. They didn't have mom's hammock, dad's hammock, and all the kids. There was one giant hammock that they all slept in. And most of the hammocks were made out of, like, plastic, nylon, not very nice material. You know, some of the families might have a cloth hammock or something like that. But we were at this, and I remember seeing that, and as a 17-year-old, I was just really struck by that, just the poverty that was around me. And I remember going to this sermon, and the pastor was from Belize, and he was preaching, and he was talking about how blessed he and his congregation were. There were people in the world that didn't have the things that they had. We all have blessings in our lives. We all have cisterns that God has entrusted to us that we're supposed to recognize, that we're supposed to protect, and then we need to not take for granted. That we need to constantly thank God for each and every day. Say, God, thank you for what you have given to me. I recognize it, and I'm so appreciative of everything that you have given to me. Listen, I'm so thankful for Tracy. I am so thankful for my children. Tracy and I have, you know, one car. Most couples we know have 2, 3, 4 cars. We have one car. I am so grateful for the car that we drive. I'm so grateful for the house that we live in. You know, I can look at other people and I can say, well, they've got, you know, greater blessings than us. You know, I could look at, I have an older brother who raises funds for cancer research, and he's working with the company right now, and he's out raising millions of dollars to help battle glioblastoma, brain cancer. And it's amazing work that he gets to be a part of, and he's traveling around the country, meeting with wealthy donors, and being a part of this company that's developing these drugs that are, you know, making all kinds of groundbreaking improvements on fighting brain cancer. You know, I could look at that and I could say, God, why does he get to do all those things, and I don't get to travel and I don't get to go around? But I'm not jealous. I'm just proud that I get to be his brother. You know, I'm so happy that I get to see how the Lord is blessing him in that way, but how he's blessing me here with my wife and my family and this church. We are so blessed to be a part of this church and to live in this community. And when the Lord called us here in 2004, I said, Lord, I hope you never call us to anywhere else, because we're so blessed to be here. You know, people tease me sometimes because we go deer hunting, and if you come into our den, we've got a little fireplace, and there's a nice 8-point buck hanging over the fireplace. Well, Tracy took that buck. It wasn't me. You know, and people say, well, aren't you embarrassed that, you know, your wife's got a trophy buck on the wall and you don't? I said, no, what are you talking about? You know how awesome it is that my wife likes to go hunting with me? You know, I think it's really amazing that she has that blessing. It's a blessing to me to for her to have that, right? So recognizing and not taking for granted and not comparing and saying, I need to go after somebody else's blessing. No, what the Lord has given me is enough. In fact, he's really given me more than enough. I need to be careful to recognize that each and every day. But it goes beyond recognizing. It goes beyond acknowledging and appreciating. We also have to honor the Lord with our blessings. Amen? Amen. You have to ask the question, have you been a good steward of your blessings this morning, this week, this month? Blows my mind. I woke up this morning. It was May 19th already. You know, how many blessings has the Lord already given us in 2019, and have we been good stewards of them? Are we taking care of them? Are we protecting them? You know, have you been faithful in your marriage relationship, getting back to the main purpose of this text? Or have you started letting your mind think about possibilities outside of your marriage? Or have you entered into conversations that maybe are not appropriate with somebody who's not your spouse? Or if you are not married, have you thought about maybe going off and doing some things with people that you're not married to? Things of that nature. You know, we're made in the image of God. I mentioned that the part of what we don't understand about being made in the image of God is God exists in the Trinity. God exists in community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's a real fancy Greek word. I don't like throwing around real fancy Greek words a whole lot, but there's a real fancy Greek word that's called perichoresis. I learned this in seminary, and it's amazing to me to think about. It's the indwelling of God. And you read in Scripture a different passage where it says the Father indwells the Son, and the Son indwells the Father, and each one of them indwells the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit indwells them. And somehow, God the Father is able to indwell God the Son, and yet neither one of them loses any part of who they are individually. I can't understand it. I don't think I ever will understand it, but it's just amazing for me to think about that. And somehow God the Son is able to indwell the Holy Spirit, and they're able to be a part of each other, but neither one of them loses any part of their own individual identity in that. And you know, the closest thing that we have as we talk about being made in the image of God, the closest thing that we have to that as human beings, of that indwelling, is the indwelling of a husband and a wife with one another. And so the problem when we abuse that, the problem with the LGBT community, the problem with switching genders, the problem with saying, hey, it's my life, I'm going to go be with whoever I want to be with, is every time we do something like that, anytime somebody chooses to enter into a relationship with somebody who is not their spouse, is we are being poor reflections of who God is in that moment. If we are made in the image of God, we can never stop reflecting who God is. So we're either being a good reflection or we're being a poor reflection. And anytime we choose to not recognize our own blessings and we choose to follow after somebody else's and we choose to not appreciate the things that God has given us, then we are being poor reflections of our Creator God. So it doesn't just affect us, but it affects Him. I don't know about you this morning, but I do not want to reflect poorly on my Creator. I don't want that to be said about me. I would hope that, you know, when I get to heaven and when the Lord and I sit down, of course, listen, I've already done enough. I know there's going to be times that He can point to, but I would hope that, you know, that's not the main thing that He points at in me is, man, let me show you all the times where you were a poor reflection. I don't want that to be said of me. No, I want to be a good steward of the blessing that He has given to me. I want to be careful to recognize them each and every day. I want to make sure that I'm appreciating them each and every day, that I'm not going after anybody else's blessings, but only those which God has called for me to have, and I'm so grateful for them, and I'm choosing to honor Him. So God has blessed me with the ability to teach. Well, I want to teach and give honor and glory to Him. Whether it's teaching the Word of God, whether it's teaching carpentry, whether it's teaching somebody how to fly an airplane, everything that I do, I want to make sure that I'm honoring Him in the way that I teach and in the way that I'm giving that instruction and correcting, rebuking, and all of those things. You know, I want to make sure that I'm honoring Him in the way that I treat my wife and my children and the students that He's entrusted to me. And what about you? You know, are you honoring the Lord with your cisterns? Are you being a good steward? Are you taking care of the things that He has entrusted to you? We're going to enter into a time of invitation this morning. I'm going to ask John and the praise team to come up. And we'll have our invitation, and like I said, this morning is our senior recognition service, and so after the invitation, don't leave right away. We have Sarah and Bo are going to come. We're going to present them with the gift, and Bo's going to say hi to everybody, and Sarah's going to share a little bit about what the Lord is doing in her life. But as we enter into this time of invitation, I want you to think about those three questions coming out of this passage in Proverbs chapter 5. And if there's something that the Lord is speaking to you about that you need to come, that you need prayer for, come down front, I'll be happy to pray for you. If you want to just take advantage of the altar, you know, something that you don't need to share with me, you bring a brother or sister with you and come and have them pray for you, or just come by yourself, you're welcome to do that. And if you're not a member of our church and you've been coming for a while and the Lord has impressed it on your heart that, you know, maybe you should join and be a part of what God's got going on here. And listen, God's got some really cool things going on here. I don't just say that. I don't need to make a sales pitch. That's not what I'm about. The Lord's doing some really cool things in our church and in our congregation, in this community. So maybe He's calling you to be a part of that. You can come and talk with me about that as well this morning. Well, let's stand together. I'm going to pray for us. And then the time for the invitation will be open. Father God, we just, again, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity to be here. We do lift up Blake to You again. Pray for healing and his body, God. God, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning that needs to come forward and make any type of decision, that they would not hold back. And I pray that You would help us all to recognize and appreciate and honor You with the blessings and cisterns that You've placed in our life. In Jesus' name, by Your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated one more time. I'm going to ask Bo and Sarah to come to the front. John, can we have that microphone, please, sir? And John Bunting, can I ask you to bring those journals from the back? As you know, every year we do journals for our graduating seniors, and what this is an opportunity for us as a congregation to bless them one more time and send them off with a word of encouragement, something like that, as they're moving on to whatever the Lord has called them to next. Thank you, John. And so we've got these journals out there. There's pictures of each one of them, and I used to give the journals to them on the recognition Sunday, and then people would say, well, I didn't know who they were, so I didn't write in their journal. And so this morning, you get a chance to hear from Sarah, and unfortunately, like I said, Deanna's not able to be here, but I can tell you a little bit about what she's got going on. And then these journals will be at that back table by their pictures throughout the month of June, and I would encourage each and every one of you, even if it's just two or three lines, maybe a favorite scripture verse you have, to write that for them and leave that for them. I still have the journal that was given to me when I graduated from high school in 1999, and every once in a while, I'll open it up and just read some of the things that people wrote to me back then. And it's a blessing every single time that I do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to present Bo with his journal and let him say hello to everybody, and then we'll give him a round of applause for graduating from high school this year. So Bo, this is for you. And he says thank you to everybody. All right, he can stay standing with his sister. And I'm going to present Sarah with her journal as well. So this is for you. But Sarah is also going to share with us a little bit this morning. I'm going to hug your neck first. And just tell us, where you're graduating from, where you're going next, and maybe what you think the Lord has in store for you.
Okay. So I'm going to be graduating from Hempstead High School. And in the fall, I'm going to be moving up to Nacogdoches to attend Stephen F. Austin University. So me and my dad will be at rival schools. That'll be fun. But I'm planning to go into the nursing program and hopefully eventually end up being a travel nurse. So I'll get to go out and experience the world, but also help people at the same time.
All right. And I mentioned, just to give you a little bit about Deanna Bonham, who's not here, she's graduating from Waller High School, and she's entering into the military, is that correct? So her mom, Gemma, is in the balcony this morning, so Deanna is going off into the military, and so we are very proud of her as well. I want to mention that we are blessed to be able to award Sarah a scholarship this year as well. And you know, that's worth a round of applause if we want to do that. So, but it's a blessing. It's a little bit bittersweet. Since I've been here for, I came here in 2004, and even before that, this church has always been able to give scholarships to our graduating seniors. Well, unless something happens miraculously, this is our last year that we will be able to award. That fund that we have had for our graduates is no longer available. We have used all the funds. We've been able to bless, what did we say in staff meeting, over 100, 150 graduates over the past 20 years. So that's an incredible thing. But just kind of want to make everybody, if you're graduating next year, we may not have an application for you. I don't want anybody to have expectations on that. But it is a blessing that we've been able to do that. So come up after the service and greet Bo and Sarah. And then, like I said, I'll take the journals back to the back, and they'll be there for the next 5 or 6 weeks or so. With all that being said, we are dismissed this morning. Thank you, guys. Y'all stay right here. Can you go set these at that table? So, thank you. I wrote in them, so you'll see. Thank you, Bing. Get in line, get in line. So one is going to end this week, and then if anyone wants to start coming to you next week, I'm fine with that if you are. Yeah. Hey, and just FYI, man, like, we're not necessarily doing it. Thank you. Hey, I have a quick question for you. Obviously, my sister is leaving. She's been working in the nursery. Somebody mentioned that you might be possibly interested. Is that something you'd be interested in at all? But not on a regular. Okay. We're looking to replace her, like, every Sunday and Wednesday with a paid. Okay, but if you get that job and we don't have anybody else, you would be...